Psalm chapter 12. Thank you again for the privilege to be here. I'm honored to be here. It's always a joy to be back with folks that I know and appreciate so much. We have a high regard for your work here and I'm always excited to see what God is doing here. And it's exciting to know we have an armed guard over here on the side. And just in case something happens, I appreciate that. Always good to be careful in these days. And thank you, Daniel, for watching out for me. You take that side, I'll take this side, and we'll make sure nobody gets this. All right. All right. Well, it is a wonderful privilege to be here. I am honored. I mean that sincerely. I don't take this very lightly at all, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm thankful for Joel and his family, and their wonderful encouragement they are to me. Actually, they visited last week after Christmas, and for some reason, I got a terrible bug. I don't know what it was, and it wasn't COVID, but it was a bug. And I was laying there, and they were having a great time with all the other kids and everything, and I was just sick. So I said, I'm just going over to the church and lay in the prophet's chamber and get better. Well, little Anna, bless her heart, she was always carrying me water and pills and everything else, and so I give her credit. The next morning, I woke up with no fever and back on the road ever since. And so whatever it was I had, I'm done and thankful for that. My wife, unfortunately, could not be with us. She is not like Brother Phil's wife, practicing social distancing, but she is not able to be here today. At least that's what he told me. I don't know if it's true or not. No, yeah, I can't. Okay, boy, we do need revival here, don't we, brothers? But she's not been well either. Dina said, "Well, it's probably because of all the kids that were there." And I said, "Well, it is funny how this all happened right after everybody left. I don't know what it was, but it was a great time. And we are living in difficult times, aren't we?" So. And I think David was as well. We're not the first generation that's ever had problems. As a matter of fact, I think we're probably maybe going to see things that we haven't seen before, but it's not because it's the first time it's happened to Christians. Here in Psalm chapter 12, you'll notice in the Bible, David says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Boy, that sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't it? "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Heavenly Father, I thank you that we've had this privilege to come before your throne tonight. We don't take that lightly. We realize the blood of Christ is what allows us into your presence, and we praise you for that tonight, that we have this access. Now, Father, we need you to speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is alive, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We rejoice that we have it tonight. We rejoice that we can meet together. Thank you for this assembly tonight. Thank you for meeting with us as you promised. In Jesus' name, amen. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Isn't it interesting how the connection between godliness and faithfulness? And certainly as a nation in which we live, and maybe we have to accept the fact that sometimes even in our own churches, as godliness diminishes, faithfulness also diminishes. And I believe the key, the need for the hour, is for faithfulness to be reinvigorated in our lives that we might be what God wants us to be. I was thinking today about that geyser out in Yellowstone National Park. It's an amazing thing. There's a lot of geysers around. I think I read somewhere 500 different geysers, but that particular geyser gets a lot of attention. As a matter of fact, they even have a camera. You can go on the internet and look at it live. They got a camera set up just so you can watch it. They even tell you how you can predict when the next time it's going to erupt. And so you can check your progress, and the ranger there will do theirs, and you can compare yours with theirs and all the rest. Interesting. What's so special about that water coming out of the ground? It's faithful. That's the reason that water draws so much attention is because it is a faithful, old faithful. And I believe that's a key that I believe God would have in all of our lives, that one quality, especially as we look at all around us. What does God want of us? The one thing he needs in all of our lives is faithfulness. He doesn't say, "I need intelligence." That's probably a good thing for most of us, isn't it? He doesn't say, "I need ability or a talent." He wants faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, the scripture says. All throughout the scripture, God placed a high premium on this one matter of faithfulness. As a matter of fact, when Paul talking to the Galatians, he said, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. He named Abraham as a faithful man. Moses' leadership was defended by God against his brother and sister as they were against his leadership. And God said, I'm going to speak to Moses face to face because he is faithful. that's a tongue twister. He's faithful in all mine house. Samuel was raised up by God to replace Eli because God wanted a faithful priest. David was defended by Ahimelech. I don't know if they're brothers or not, but Ahimelech. He was defended by Ahimelech just before Saul destroyed that entire tribe, if you would, of Ahimelech, because Ahimelech said, I know David is one of your most faithful servants. So it was David's faithfulness that caused Ahimelech even to stand up for him. Hananiah, in the book of Nehemiah, gave charge over Jerusalem. Was given charge over Jerusalem because he was a faithful man. Nehemiah chose treasurers, he said, because they were counted faithful. Paul thanked God because God counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. Daniel, even though his enemies could not find anything to point at his anything to attack him with because he was faithful. The Bible says Silvanus was chosen by Peter to carry his letter to churches because he was a faithful brother. Bible says the key to discipleship, and we're always interested in discipleship, but the Bible says that the key is the things which we have heard of him to commit to what kind? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The Bible tells us that Lydia said to Paul at Philippi, who had just got saved, and she was down by the riverside, and she says, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come over and let us take care of you at our home. Now I say to you tonight, God places a very high premium on faithfulness. And I believe if there's any reason for God's people to be faithful, because God has been faithful to us. God is a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. The Bible tells us in Psalm 12, you have your Bible open there, the words of the Lord in verse 6 are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm glad we have a faithful God who keeps his word faithfully. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you trusted Christ for your salvation because you depended on the verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and find out later on that God wasn't going to keep that word promise? That we'd be a mess, wouldn't we? I'm glad God is faithful, and I'm glad God has been faithful to his word. God also is faithful to keep us secure. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, he is faithful that promised. He's able to deliver us out of temptation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has ever taken us but what is common to man, but God is faithful. What a wonderful promise that God is faithful. I don't know what's coming in 2021. We were talking to our church, and I don't know. I think we might possibly look back on 2020 with fondness and say, well, that was better than we thought, you know. I don't know, but I'm saying that God is faithful. We have nothing to fear, brethren, because God is faithful. He is faithful to deliver us out of temptation. He's also faithful, we know, to cleanse us from sin, isn't he? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, these words are true and faithful. And Jesus said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So he's faithful to offer salvation to anybody who will receive it. So God is faithful to us. The Bible says of Jesus Christ that he's a faithful Savior. I found so many opportunities. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Thank God for that. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Hebrews 2:17, the Bible calls him, and this is a wonderful passage, a merciful and faithful high priest. That we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful promise. All because God is faithful. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. I say to you, we ought to be faithful because God is faithful. We are God's children. If anything, we ought to resemble God. We ought to resemble him. He's our Savior. He's our Father. And his children ought to look like him. Someone once in a while tell me, well, Joel looks like you. And Joel says, I hope I don't. I hope I can keep my hair longer than you did, Dad. And the point is that it's a compliment when your offspring kind of resemble you. And I believe God is pleased when his offspring are faithful, when his children are faithful in their responsibilities. So I ought to be faithful because of his example, but we ought to be faithful in spite of the difficulties we face. It's not hard to be faithful and everything's going well, all is well, but when the trouble comes, then that becomes a problem. Sometimes the distraction of the world is a problem. The world is a, I believe the devil has wonderful ways to cause us to be distracted. He distracts us sometimes by the attractions that the world offers us. Sometimes he distracts us by world's organizations. I found out a long time ago that the world, no matter what the organization is, has little concern for the church. And I found out that if I'm going to be faithful to something, I better narrow it down to something that's going to require my attention and give my attention and my devotion to that which God is involved in. If the church belongs to Jesus Christ, then I want to belong to the church. If Jesus loves the church, I want to love the church. And I realize there's a lot of organizations that do a lot of wonderful things, and I hope they continue to do wonderful things, but I'm going to give my energy and my faithfulness to that which Jesus Christ loves, and that's the church. So the world sometimes will distract us, and that causes us to be unfaithful. What you do here is what between you and your pastor and all the rest, but I always grieve when I see young people being carried off with attractions away from the services of the Lord. I think they're important. I think it's very important. It was important for our children. We had when our kids were growing up, Joel mentioned in Minnesota, and the boys as they grew up, of course, they liked to play ball and all the other things, and right away I knew we were going to face a problem trying to keep up with all that the world wanted to do. People obviously in charge of the ball team want to win games. If they want to win games, they want to practice. They want to practice. They really don't care whether prayer meeting is going on or not. They want their team there. So I said, Joel, I know you like to play ball, and I'm sorry we just can't have a team going on here. Our little Christian school at that time wasn't big enough to have a team. But I said, I don't want to have to fight over whether we're going to go to church or whether we're going to ball practice. And I just don't want to have that fight. And I honestly have nothing to regret. Now, boys they're not going to be ball players on some professional team, but let me not be unkind here, but yours aren't either. And a lot of kids, they lose a lot of, and I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying that there's a lot of time people give their life to things that are not going to count for eternity. And sometimes we parents, I know I've got parents, I just want my boys to, you know, go out football, they're going out for basketball and all the rest. Well, they miss church, they miss miss all the youth activities, and they're so proud because they can score a point on the basketball team. They're not going to make the NBA, they're not going to make the football team, and NFL or anything else. I don't think that's COVID. I think that's a dry cough that I have. At the long time. And you can get water if you want, but I can still make it, I think. All right. So we have the distraction of the world, but we also have the discomfort of the flesh. Here's our biggest problem. The discomfort of the flesh. The flesh loves two things. It loves to be pampered, and it loves to be promoted. And we're talking about, you know, the things of the Lord, unfortunately, the flesh is not real excited about those things. I have to tell you this story, if I could, real quickly. I'm not taking long tonight because I really appreciate the prayer time so much. But we got hit by this COVID thing, just like you did. And so right away, we didn't want to overwhelm the hospital, so we didn't have services. This goes back in probably late February, March, whatever. So I learned how to, I was on the phone with your pastor, oh, God, how do you do this thing? How do you get it on the internet, you know, and all the rest? And he's trying to tell me over the phone what to do. And, oh, that was a mess. Anyway, bless your heart, Anna. What a helper. I got to tell you this story about Anna real quickly. Now, when they were where they were working with us back in Ohio, and we're still in Ohio, back in Struthers in Poland, Anna, just a little kid, you know, I'd be helping her dad work on the car or something, and she'd always come out with a glass of water, you know. Here you got your hands greased, and she's standing there, a glass of water. And you drink that water, and pretty soon she's back with another glass of water. I don't know what about Anna, but she's always been good with water. And that's not a bad thing. Trouble is, this is a pulpit that I can't sit on. Okay. Okay, well, anyway, I'll set it in here. The flesh likes to be pampered. So I'm in this mindset of getting the gospel, trying to keep the services going without anybody coming. So we got on the internet and started broadcasting on the internet, and that was quite a thing. Well, what would happen is we'd come in, I'd teach a Sunday school lesson from my desk. I'd sit at my desk and teach a Sunday school lesson. Now, that's quite comfortable. And then we had another one of the fellows would do something, and then I would speak, you know, give a preach this message, something like that. And then I just turn off the computer, close the door, walk home, walk out, and that was it. Nobody shake hands with. Nobody take home after church. Nobody problems to solve, you know. I just went home, took the rest of the day, and I go back in the evening and do the same thing for about an hour and go home again. And frankly, I got a little used to that. You know, that's not bad. I said, this is really something. And come in on Wednesday night, do it for another hour, and go home. And my folks were saying, oh, you know, preacher, it's kind of nice to sit so home and sipping coffee and in the easy chair and just listen to you preach. That's been a wonderful thing. I thought, God, God said that we're supposed to be part of a church. Now, you know what the word church means, don't you, church? It's ekklesia is the Greek word. It means a called out assembly. And it's very hard to assemble from the front room watching a television. You know what I'm saying? So I was concerned about myself. I said, oh, boy, here I am. I'm getting used to this. And so I said, well, we better start getting together, doing something, you know. I'll get my tie on, my coat. And the point is that the flesh is easy to become unfaithful. I know it gets hard and difficult and all the rest. And we're all the same flesh, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we just have to decide that faithfulness is important. And so the flesh cannot rule us. Paul says, I'm not going to let my flesh tell me what to do. He said, I'm just going to make sure that I tell my flesh what to do. So first of all, the world is a problem, the flesh is a problem, and of course the devil's a problem. What the devil likes to do, he likes to discourage us. Sometimes he'll use close friends. Like, for instance, Peter. Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, don't think about that. You don't have to think about going to Jerusalem and dying and rising. Just don't let that be far from you. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. He recognized that the devil was using Peter to discourage him from doing what God had given him to do. So sometimes our own friends can be a discouragement to us. Sometimes our family. You do recall, do you not, that there was a point when Jesus' mother and his brothers came up to him while he was busily engaged, and they tried to get him out of there because they thought he was losing his mind. They say, Jesus, you got to back off. You got to slow down. You can't keep on doing this. He says, we think you're going nuts. You're going insane. Well, here's what I'm saying, brethren. We have a problem sometimes with the matter of faithfulness. We know our Father's faithful. He's been good to us. But we're flesh. We're humans. So we have to deal with the world around us. We live in the world. And the world doesn't really know that this is important. The world doesn't understand that this fellowship is more than just a little get-together that we have. It's necessary for our growth and for obeying the Lord. It doesn't understand that. And the flesh doesn't have any desire to do. You know, this is one thing, Pastor, I've been dealing with. Is I like to be able to have this thing on the internet and all the rest. And I've got some people that really shouldn't be out in a crowd. I understand that too. But then I've got some people that are starting to enjoy this quite a bit, you know. We can just sit in our pajamas and watch Sunday morning service. That's great. Well, the problem is that's not, and I'm not against people that have to stay home. I tell people, I'm glad you're joining us by live stream, all the rest. But listen, be careful. The flesh will keep you from being faithful. They say that after this whole thing is over, that many of the people that have gotten used to being away will never come back. And it's not because they hate the church. It's just because the flesh has said, you know, this is more comfortable. Let's just sit here and watch it live stream, you see. Well, the point is this. The point is this. Faithfulness is important. It's a priority before the Lord. And we are attacked on every hand to keep us from being faithful. Well, how do we get motivated? Well, I tell you, I think there's a couple ways. First of all, because of the example of other believers. The Bible says Moses was faithful in all mine house. You want to see somebody that had trouble? Oh, Moses. Can you imagine pastoring that people for 40 years wandering through the wilderness and always griping and complaining? You know the story. Moses faithful. God said he was. Matter of fact, twice in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says he was faithful in his house. That's a wonderful story. But I thought of other people I've had the privilege to pastor. Some of you would know Jen's great-grandpa, Ed. Ed Barth, I had the privilege to pastor him for 20 years before he went on to heaven. He had already retired by the time I came to Gospel Baptist in Poland. But before that, he'd gotten really a burden to be a soul winner at an early Sword of the Lord conference in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. He was challenged to be a soul winner. So long before I knew Grandpa Barth, he was a soul winner. He would go soul winning. He actually would rent a tent. He had a tent that he and another fellow bought, and they would set it up in different parts of Youngstown, and they would have an evangelist come in, and they'd have a 5, 6, 7 week meeting, whatever it took, and then they'd leave a church there. I can point to 2 or 3 churches in Youngstown that Ed Barth was responsible to get started. One down in Columbia and one up in a couple in Youngstown. But that's before I met him. He was going to the fair, the county fair, largest county fair in Ohio, Canfield Fair, and he was having a booth out there, and he was always out soul winning. And when I became his pastor, as I say, he retired. When he got to be 65, he said, "I'm turning the farm over. I'm no longer going to do it farm." He says, "I've been working that farm, and I'm doing that, but I'm going to serve the Lord now. That's my job. I'm going to serve the Lord." That's what he did. So he was serving the Lord. Monday, he was our church treasurer. He'd count the offering and take accounting of all who gave. And then Tuesday, he'd be out. He said, and Wednesday, he'd say, "Pastor, you've got some visits I need to make. Okay, I'll do it." Thursday, he'd be out soul winning door to door. And then Friday and Saturday, that was just his life. Sunday afternoon, he'd be at church Sunday morning, Sunday school Sunday morning. And then afternoon, he'd go up to the jail. For 60 years, he went to the jail, Mahoning County Jail, to witness to the prisoners there. I'm just saying he was a faithful man. Now, his wife got sick. Grandma Barth got cancer, and he was caring for her in his home for some time. She was obviously in a lot of pain, difficulty with this cancer situation, and he had people coming in, and it was a hard time. It was a trial for him. And so now he's getting up in age now. He's 70s and 80s, and Grandma Barth dies. The next Sunday evening, we had a testimony time at church. Grandpa Barth is standing back by the PA room. He stands up. I can still see him today. He stands up and like this. He said, "I'm the happiest man alive." I thought, my goodness, that's not a good testimony to say after your wife died. But he said, "No, sir." He says, "My wife is free from cancer. She's free from pain. She's with Jesus. I have freedom to go out and serve the Lord, and I'm the happiest man alive." I can still see him saying it. I thought, man alive. And that guy kept going up into his 80s and into his 90s. He got to be about 95, 96. And he decided maybe it's best to quit driving. And and that was a problem because he was always driving, getting out, soul winning and so forth. And now he's kind of, his health is failing. His knees are kind of weak and so forth. And that last year was difficult for Grandpa Barth because he couldn't get out like he wanted to. He'd always get to church, but he just couldn't get out. And I remember going over to his house one time, and I sat in his room there, and we prayed together, and I heard him pray. He says, "God, I'm no quitter. Please give me strength, God. I'm no quitter." And I thought, may God help me to have that same spirit. He died when he's 97 years old, a faithful man all the way to the end. I've had the privilege to know faithful people in my life, people that will not quit. I'm glad Don is with me tonight, Don Fisher. He became a member of our church a few years ago. He's been a thorn in our flesh ever since, really. But Don's called to be an evangelist. God called him evangelist. And doesn't matter where you are, if you take Don with you somewhere, I'll go get gas. He's out of the vehicle. He's going tracks, everybody give tracks, everybody. He comes to clean our church. He's a wonderful help in that way. All the people in the world like to clean. Don loves to clean. That's what he likes to do. He had a stroke when he was a young man in Bible college. Had to lay out a year, learn to walk again. He's got basically paralyzed on one side, but he won't stop. Just keeps on going. But I'm saying everywhere he goes, he's always handing out tracts, always witnessing to people, winning people to Christ. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. You know, it's not the lightning. Lightning's beautiful, but it doesn't grow tomatoes. It takes the sun just shining day after day after day that grows with tomatoes. And that's what it takes in the Christian life. Christian life's not measured by years or months. It's measured by decades. Like Brian Starr, Brother Starr, Mrs. Starr. I always encouraged by, I read their letters. I listen to, because I'm encouraged by the fact here he could have every right just to lay back and enjoy his fishing. He still fishes once in a while. I see that. But he ought to be able to do that. But the point is that encourages me. People that are faithful. And you folks, some of you I've known for years, and you're always right in the same place, doing the right thing. That's what God wants us to be. And it motivates other people. When you're faithful, you're motivating other people to be faithful. And they may never see it. They may never say anything to you about it. But you are an encouragement. So the example of faithful believers, and also the encouragement of rewards. Remember that Jesus told this parable. He told it to help us. He told about those who he had given responsibilities to. And he said, "I'm going to come back. I'm going to check on you." And when he came back, the ones that had used their talents to further his work, to accomplish what he wanted them to do, his answer to those were, "Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, thou good and wise or intelligent or handsome or whatever. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. I don't know what that's going to be like in heaven, but I will tell you this, the opportunity we'll have for eternity has everything to do with our faithfulness right now. If that be the case, God can help us to be what we ought to be for His glory. Now we ought to do a faithfulness checkup. Let's just do that real quickly. Checkup time is good. I had my annual checkup. I put it off as long as I could. And I have a wonderful doctor. We have an understanding. He asked me how I feel. I said, I feel fine. Okay, I'll see you next year. My wife said, did you tell him about that ear problem you had? No, I forgot to tell him about that. She wants to go with me next time. Let's take a checkup real quickly. Let's check our faithfulness. There's five areas, really, that every Christian ought to be faithful in. Five areas. And one man said this, every success, every victory in the Christian life has everything to do with one's obedience in one of these areas or all of these areas. Every failure in the Christian life has everything to do with someone's unwillingness to do one of these five areas. First of all, the area of your Word of God, the Bible. You may have been saved a long time, but you and I cannot continue spiritually growing without the Word of God daily. And it has to be a habit. It has to be something that you just determine. I am ashamed to tell you how many years it was before I finally got a hold of this thing. It's every day I've got to spend time in the Word of God just from my own heart. Not for a sermon, not for a Bible lesson or Sunday school, but for my own heart. But now it's part of my life. I can't think of a day I've gone by that hasn't spent time in the Word of God every day. You need to do that. How's your faithfulness to the Word of God? How's your faithfulness in your Bible reading? Do you memorize the Word of God? Do you let it meditate, sink in your heart? First of all, Bible reading. Secondly, this matter of prayer. Prayer is important. I appreciate your pastor emphasizing that tonight, but it is important. It's our breath. It's our life breath. But I wonder what's your prayer life like? You have missionaries like we have missionaries. Do you pray for missionaries? I know you support them, but do you pray for them? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for others who have needs? Obviously, there are people that are affected by the COVID crisis, maybe more than you are, but they ought to be prayed for. I thank God for people. As I say, Brother Starr, what a help he and Diane are, but they need to be prayed for. They need someone to pray for them. So let's check up. How about your Bible reading? How about your relationship to the Word of God? How about your relationship to prayer? I'm ashamed to say that I was in seminary and even a pastor before I really got serious about this matter of prayer. And I'm afraid that even today I'm still just barely clutching at the beginnings of that. How important prayer is. Maybe God is allowing us to be in a situation like this that we're in today that's totally beyond our control, just so we know that He's the only hope we have, and teach us to pray. Number three, what about this matter of church attendance? I wonder how often you'd stay employed if the boss never knew when or if you'd show up for work. I wonder how many classes you'd pass if you just showed up to school anytime you felt like showing up. I've got a fellow in our church who's a math teacher in high school. He's got a lot of kids online. He says, frankly, I've got five kids. I can tell right now they're going to fail the course. Why? Because they don't show up. They just don't show up. Now, I wonder how many times a church meets, we don't show up. That ought to be a plan. As I said, in our home, if anything was done right, I give God the credit, but we've said the church is our priority in every respect. Whatever happens, the church is a priority for myself, my wife, my children. We're going to be there. And that church attendance is so critical. We have a dear little gal by the name of Tatiana that Abby knows. She's been a great encouragement to Tatiana. Tatiana's a little bus kid who's out of high school now, but she started coming when she was a junior in high school or sophomore in high school, something like that. Family doesn't have a bit of care for the things of God. I mean, they don't care one whit. They do everything they can to discourage her. But she told me the other night, I took a group of people home from church, and she was saying, It was just a hard thing for me just to get faithful to church. But once I just decided I'm going to make it a part of my life, I'm just going to be in church every time. He says, no, it's no problem at all. I just if it's church time, I'm going to church. My family didn't even ask me, are you going to church tonight? Oh, yeah, I'm going to church because it's church night. And little Tatiana is growing in grace. She's helping out in our Patch Club and doing lots of good things for the Lord. And it's so encouraging to that. What about your Bible reading? What about your prayer time? Oh, I'm too busy, preacher. No, you're not too busy. No, you're not too busy. Church attendance. Well, you know, things have to come up. Well, of course they do, but we ought to be faithful in church. What about the matter of giving? I don't know about you, been Pastor Noel, but I've been so encouraged. Our people have been faithful giving, even during the times of COVID when everything is difficult for everyone, it seems. my wife is my Holy Spirit sometimes. We have on our faith promise card a opportunity. Every year we have this faith promise card. They can fill out. People, I encourage people, tell us what you think God wants you to do. And you can put down monthly or yearly or whatever it is, weekly. And then if you don't have anything to give, maybe you don't have anything to give, but you want to give something, just say, well, put down a percent of unexpected income. And it'll blank there and say 10%. If I get something unexpected, I'll give 10% to faith promise. That's reasonable, isn't it? So the other day I was talking to some, I said, you think people expected that stimulus check? And my wife says, honey, don't say anything about that, you know. I said, well, if it's unexpected income and they said they're going to give, I think they ought to be reminded, you know. You ought to be faithful in giving. Giving ought to be so much a part of your life that that becomes the first thing you say, I'm going to give the Lord my tithe. And on top of that, an offering, just part of life. You say, well, I don't have anything to give. The reason may be because you haven't been giving. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, precious. I believe every promise of the Word of God, and God has marvelously blessed us, my family. We're not rich, but we are wonderfully provided for, and I believe the answer is because we've make the Lord a priority in our giving. Somebody calls, say, can you support this worthwhile endeavor? My wife will say, we only give to one, and that's the church. Sorry. Anyway. She handles that well. What about this matter of witnessing? We've talked about that tonight. Oh, that's where I need God's help. We need to be courageous. It's just a matter of obedience to the Lord, witnessing. We ought to have tracts with us at all times, some way to remind ourselves that we want to give out the gospel. You might not have time to stop and talk to every person, but you ought to be able to give them something that tells them how they can go to heaven. You understand, hell is real. And the worst thing that's going to happen, people, is not COVID. It's going to be stepping into eternity without Jesus. And you and I are the only ones that have the answer to that. A guy got arrested, a pharmacist, because he ruined some COVID inoculation, some, you know, antibiotics, whatever they were going to, what do they call those things? Vaccines, of course. You heard about that. Druggist said, I don't think it'll help, so he left it out of the freezer and it ruined the bottles. He's going to be charged for that, I guess. That's what they say. I wonder what would happen if we got charged because we keep the answer to people's needs to ourselves. We don't hand it out. We ought to take that little checkup of faithfulness. Since God says it's required in stewards, we ought to be noticeable that we have a God who's faithful. What about our Bible? What about our time in the Word of God daily? I know it's a good church. I know you're a good church. But I dare say there's probably some young people here, maybe adults, that have gotten too busy. And they need to get back on track just reading through their Bible this year. What about prayer? What about this matter of church attendance? What about this matter of giving? What about this matter of witnessing? Are you faithful? That's my question. That's what God requires of us, and may God help us. We stand before Him. It's going to be well done, thou good and faithful servant. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight as we begin this new year, that just help us to be sober-minded, Lord, about our responsibility to You. There's a lot of problems in the world we're not going to be able to solve. But what happens to us, Lord, even if someone prayed, it's us as individuals that You're working through. It's You, it's our people, Lord, that You want to deal with. So I pray tonight that we would draw a little circle around ourselves and just ask ourselves, have I been faithful? Or is there an area where I need to be faithful in an area of my life? And Lord, would You help us to be faithful people for Your glory? Help, Lord, that the godly man ceases and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Oh, God, raise up faithful people tonight. Help me to be faithful, I pray, in every respect for Jesus' sake. Amen. Pastor, how would you like to conduct the invitation?
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this evening. I want to just give opportunity for us to respond. I believe this leaves us with a decision in our lives. What are you going to do? How are you going to commit to the Lord? This is the beginning of the year. And I know there's the cliche about all of the resolutions. I'm not asking you to make a resolution. I'm asking you to surrender to the Lord what he's doing in your life. And would you respond to him tonight? There's no shame in making it right. Where are you at, Christian? It hits right where we need to be. These are the simple things that come along in our lives that just get left aside. And if anything we've learned is to focus on the basics. So as the instrumentalists play, I'm going to ask you if you would to just take a step out of your seat if the Lord's dealt with your heart. And would you come and make that right with the Lord tonight?